Most people you meet on the street will know how many Jews left Mitzrayim. 600,000. But what is far less known is how many people did not leave Mitzrayim. How many Jews didn't make it out? So the pasuk says that Chamushim Alu Mi Mitzrayim, only 1/5 of the Jews in Mitzrayim made it out alive. So if you do the math, if 600,000 people left, that means 2.4 million Jews did not. Simple math. But there are other opinions listed in Medrash Shmos Rabbah. They translate the word chamushim to mean 1/50th, meaning 29.4 million Jews did not leave Mitzrayim. So you got to wonder, why? What happened to those people? Why did some Jews get a ticket out of Mitzrayim while other Jews didn't? So the Medrash gives the following seemingly bizarre explanation. The Medrash says that the people who were able to leave Mitzrayim were the ones who spoke Hebrew, dressed in the traditional clothes, and referred to themselves by their Jewish/Hebrew name. And those who perished in Mitzrayim did not. Now, what's bizarre is that these people otherwise seem to be good people. They may have kept halacha, they may have come to shul. It does not accuse them of going around worshiping idols or murdering people. Just because they dressed a little Egyptian and spoke a little Egyptian and went by Egyptian names, they were permanently removed from the Jewish people forever? Doesn't that seem a little harsh? And when you look at Jewish history with a bird's eye view, you would seem to see this phenomenon repeating itself. The Gemara Megillah explains that the reason the Jews were destined to be annihilated during the times of Haman was because they participated in the party that Achashverosh threw, but not one halacha was compromised. They went to shul 3 times a day, they ate 3 meals every Shabbat, sometimes 4, sometimes 5. Because they went to a party? Could that be the reason enough to wipe out the whole nation because they went to a party? Again, it seems a little harsh. The Rambam, in Igeres HaShmad, Maimer Kiddush Hashem, page 9, he says that there was a decree in the times of the Hanukkah story forbidding the Jews to close the front door of their house. He says that is what prompted the Hashmonaim to lead the nation into war with the Greeks and the eventual miraculous victory. Isn't that odd? Open doors? We were keeping Halacha, we were keeping Shabbos, we were doing Chesed because we had our doors open? Is that what almost destroyed us? The second Beis HaMikdash was famously destroyed because of Sinas Chinam, baseless hatred. Ever wonder what was so bad about that? We were following Halacha, we were Shomer Shabbos, we were not idolaters or adulterers. Okay, so we didn't like our neighbors, they were a little loud for us. We didn't like how they flavored their chalent. That's what destroyed the Beis HaMikdash? If idolatry and adultery and murder were what brought down the first Beis HaMikdash, this seems to pale in comparison. In the times of Rabbi Akiva, there was a plague that decimated almost his entire student body. Almost all his Talmidim died. Thousands upon thousands died. Why? Because they didn't treat each other with as much respect as required. Now, I'm not saying respecting one's friend is not important. But to warrant the mass death of 24,000 people seems a little harsh. No overt sin was committed. They kept all 613 mitzvahs. Why was there such a huge calamity? Why is it that whenever we as a nation were collectively threatened, it came about from a seemingly insignificant offense? Is there something fundamental beyond the 613 mitzvahs that's required of us? And if so, what is it? So the Beis HaLevi, Reb Yosef Dov Soloveitchik, a Rav in Brisk from the years 1820 to 1892, he offers the following powerful explanation. If you look carefully throughout our history, you will find a pattern. Whenever a national lack of pride in Hashem is demonstrated, disaster strikes. Whenever we as a people act in a way that is demonstrative of disinterest in our nationhood, calamity ensues. In simple English, if you're into Hashem, he's into you. If you're not into Hashem, he's not into you. One can follow the mitzvahs to the very letter of the law and yet not feel passionate about being on Hashem's team. There is no fire in his heart. He's just a Jew doing Jewish things because that's what Jews do. He might even daydream about being a non-Jew. He just does it because that's what his parents do, out of rote, or perhaps due to fear of the social consequences that would occur if he dropped what his parents and community held dear. Such a Jew, Hashem says, I don't need in my midst. I want Jews who are on fire. I want Jews who love me. I want Jews who feel passionate and pride. Hashem didn't see Jews in Mitzrayim who were proud of their Jewish heritage but happened to wear Egyptian clothing or adopt Egyptian names. Hashem saw Jews who wished they were Egyptians. He saw Jews who saw the Egyptian culture and were enamored and secretly wished they could be Egyptian. Whether they would dare admit it to you or not, Hashem knows what's going on in the inside. So they were wiped out in Egypt. Hashem didn't see Torah observant Jews in Persia who happened to be going to a Persian party. He saw Jews who wished they were Persian. He saw Jews who were too afraid to shed their Judaism but were closet Persians. There was no passion in their Judaism. Therefore, until they cried out in repentance, they were destined to be annihilated. Hashem didn't see religious and God-fearing Jews in the times of the Greeks who happened to have opened their front doors all day. He saw Jews who wanted every nuance of Greek culture to flood their homes. They brought the street into their houses. They looked at the Greeks with wide eyes, loving every bit of their culture, their music, their sports. This enraged Hashem so much that the Jews were moments away from spiritual destruction. Hashem didn't see God-fearing Jews in the times of the Second Beis Hamikdash who happened to not get along with their Jewish neighbors. He saw people who didn't view their neighbors as teammates on Hashem's team, but rather as competitors in the game of life. If you truly believed you were on Hashem's team, every Jew would be a teammate, and you would cheer them on with glee. Our baseless hatred revealed that we weren't brothers on Hashem's team. We were enemies in the rat race of life. Rabbi Akiva's students were not merely disrespectful. They too were demonstrating that they viewed their learning as a personal quest for knowledge and wisdom rather than a collective furthering of Hashem's mission in this world. It showed Hashem that they were, to a degree, in it for themselves and not in it for Him. This parsha teaches a titanic lesson. It's not enough to have a big giant clipboard with 613 mitzvahs on it, checking them off one by one. One has to passionately feel that they are on Hashem's team. One has to genuinely feel a loving need for each member of Klal Yisrael, for each and every one of us, our teammates on Team Hashem. For many years, I was a counselor in a sleepaway camp. And naturally, I had kids in my bunk who didn't always get along. This boy sucks, or the other boy's bed, and this kid can't stand the other kid's pet salamander, and this guy can't stand that he sleeps next to someone from Brooklyn. The typical childish squabbly. But every single year, without exception, a phenomenon took place when the camp entered color war. The camp was divided between two teams, and half of the bunk was on one team, while the other half was on the other. Suddenly, these kids who literally moments prior couldn't stand each other's guts would now cheer each other on. They would slap each other on the back. They were lifting each other up and laughing and bonding together. What changed? The desire to win color war was so intense that it smoothed out all differences. All differences were so petty in comparison. It made all differences seem so petty. Suddenly, they weren't competitors fighting to have a good time in camp. They were teammates who both desperately wanted to win color war. His home run was my home run. His three-point shot was my three-point shot. His win was my win. I need him. If we truly felt proud of our Yiddishkeit, we would feel the same about our neighbors and our friends. We need them. Their win is our win. Their loss is our loss. But if we are here merely to enjoy life, our neighbors and friends pose a threat to our enjoyment. The Baal Shem Tov writes that the degree in which we love Hashem is measured in the degree that we love other Jews. For if we don't love who He loves, then to a degree we don't really love Him, because a friend of a friend is a friend. We are grandchildren of people who stared into the faces of Egyptians and said, I will not be like you. We are grandchildren of people that stared into the face of the Persians and said, I will not be like you. We are grandchildren of people that stared into the face of the Greeks and said, I will not be like you. We are grandchildren of people who stared into the face of the Romans, the Spaniards, the Frenchmen, the Germans, the Enlighteners, the philosophers, the revolutionaries, and said it loud and said it proud, we will not be like you. May our grandchildren be grandchildren of people who stared into the face of modern-day billboards and front pages and movies and sports stars and said proudly, I am on Team God. I will not be like you. I am a Jew and I am proud. May the holy words of the Beis HaLevi live on. If you're into Hashem, then he's into you.